What's hot at the green market? You're about to find out now. It's the Grow NYC Market Update.
All right. Once again, you've tuned into another episode of the Grow NYC Market Update. We are on the line with Liz Carollo, and we are excited to tuck into our winter exploration of the green markets. Liz, welcome to the show.
Hey, Erin. Thanks so much.
So today you're going to take us on a little trip through some new processing methods that you're seeing at the market and talk a little bit about some season extension. So let's jump right in.
Okay, great. Yeah. What I've been noticing and seeking out these last few weeks is really just a little tiny taste of summer if I can get it. So dreary outside, you know, so I've been on the hunt for some color. But let me back up a bit first and talk a little bit about the evolution of the markets, especially over the last 10 years. So our farmers have done a really incredible job diversifying their farms, and the progression usually happens in a way that if a farm is orchard fruit primarily or vegetables primarily, they get the hang of that and get down, and their customers can kind of start to ask for maybe some new products, or they want to explore growing other things, so they start to incorporate maybe some chickens for eggs or some meat birds, some bigger livestock animals, or they might do some on-farm baking with their excess fruits and vegetables, which they can generally do right on the farm if they're eligible for exemption from a 20C license, which just essentially makes them, you know, have a certified kitchen. And they're exempt from applying for that license if they're producing anything that's not a high risk. So like canned tomatoes have a high pH, so they would be considered high risk, and baked goods like quiche or something that has eggs in it needs to be refrigerated, that would be high risk. But if they just want to make, you know, fruit jams, bread, scones, muffins, pies, they can generally do that on the farm and then sell it at farmers markets. And another form of processing, the one I want to discuss mostly today, is used primarily to extend the season and provide more variety on the farm stands, especially during the colder months, and that's freezing the summer harvest. So with the help of co-packers and off-site processing facilities, our producers take excess summer produce, have it blanched and flash frozen for selling in the winter. And it's is it exactly like the product you'd find at the farm stands in August? It's pretty close, and it tastes a ton better than anything you'd find at the grocery store right now. I bought some frozen green beans from Migliarelli Farm yesterday, had them for dinner last night, and honestly, I don't think I would have been able to tell the difference in a blind taste test. They were great.
Wow, that's exciting. And, you know, I'm curious, I'm assuming that the access to this type of, you know, quick freeze technology and packaging is probably the result of a lot of different people's work providing that infrastructure. So it's exciting to see that happening. What, you know, what are the types of vegetables and fruits that we should look for and where?
Great. Yeah, so we have 22 year-round markets, which we've been talking up lately, and such a wide variety of our producers bring in frozen fruits and vegetables now, so you can really find them at most markets. And I'm going to name some farms right now that a lot of people have heard of, some Mascot Orchards. They're an orchard and veg farm from Columbia County. They have all kinds of frozen berries. Migliarelli Farm is a huge farm in Dutchess County, and they go to a lot of our markets, and they have frozen blueberries, kale, rapini or broccoli rabe, corn, green and flat beans, and Brussels sprouts. So I saw they have... you have to kind of seek it out when you're in their stand because most, you know, it's in coolers because it's staying frozen. So you have to get into the stands and kind of start to look around. Morgenthau, an orchard in Dutchess County, has frozen fruit. Bradley Farm, Ray Bradley is a favorite amongst green market customers. He has frozen squash puree, frozen tomato puree, frozen cranberry beans, and Kira Kenny, another favorite out there, is a vegetable farm in Ulster County, and she has frozen tomatoes and frozen tomato sauce and paste. So amongst all those producers, they're kind of covering the gamut of all of our markets.
And was there someone in particular who kind of led the charge in this direction, or was there a business in particular that was kind of the first to provide some of these services?
Yeah, so when Farm to Table, so they're a co-packer and packaging facility up in Kingston. And June, who you know is our farm inspector and does strategic development for Green Market, two or three years ago, she was spending almost all of her time on this topic specifically. So helping find the connection between growers and processors and trying to rebuild some of that lost infrastructure that we have had in New York State in the past and trying to kind of reinvigorate it. And there's certainly a demand. I mean, Farm to Table is busy all the time. They're producing a lot for our farmers, and our farmers can just pull up to their loading dock, drop off whatever they have a bumper crop of that year, excess of anything, and then pick up. They process it on site, and then they pick up jams, pickles, hot sauce, salsa, tomato sauce, the frozen fruit and veg. So they've been integral in helping this product get to market.
Awesome, and I'm excited to follow, you know, June's work with the grain production this year, and I'm sure a couple of years from now we'll be having similar conversations about even more awesome grain stuff. But I was wondering, with the frozen vegetables, is there anything people should keep in mind with regards to cooking techniques or do differently because they're working with the frozen products?
Yeah, I don't think so. You can do any and everything with them. There's so much variety out there with the frozen fruit and veg from the summer harvest. So it's still really high quality. They're flash freezing everything after blanching it, so it's a bright color. It's maintaining a lot of the same taste qualities. And, I mean, I just cooked my green beans in a little bit of salt and olive oil, which is pretty much how I cook everything. So you just close your eyes and dream of those long summer days.
I have definitely been doing that. Well, speaking of like looking forward and planning for the future, I would love to hear a little bit more about the Food Almanac 2013, an event that's coming up that I think you guys are going to be a part of.
Yeah, it's great. So it's going to be next Wednesday. Michael Hurwitz, the Green Market Director, is sitting on the panel. Leonard Lopate is moderating. It's at the Brooklyn Winery in Williamsburg. It's going to be a really nice event. So much is happening in food and farming right now with the Farm Bill and GMOs and fracking and labor issues. And I'm sure they're going to, it's a really nice lineup of panelists, and I'm sure they're going to tackle all of those things. And of course, I think always the best part is the Q&A from the audience and hearing what people are interested in knowing more about and kind of, hashing through some of that stuff that's coming up.
Yeah, excited to see all those kind of food movers and shakers from Green Market and Wholesome Wave to Eagle Street kind of in one spot where there'll also be food. And I'm assuming in the winery that you'll be able to rustle up some wine some way, even if it's just to take home. Well, to stay in touch with the Grow NYC and all of the events, definitely visit them at www.grownyc.org. Tons of information there about cooking demos, book signings, giveaways, volunteering, and you know even what's happening in your local green market. And for the latest and greatest, make sure to tune in every Thursday for the Grow NYC Market Update.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.